In September 2023, the Victorian government announced it will demolish all 44 public housing high-rise towers in Melbourne. The first to go will be in Flemington, North Melbourne and Carlton. But here's the catch. In places like Flemington and North Melbourne, most of the replacement housing will be privately managed. Community housing, not public housing. That means fewer protections for tenants, and in some cases, the public housing won't be rebuilt at all. Hello and welcome to Accent of Women, a show by and about women from diverse cultures and languages all around the world. I'm Jimena Jimenez, and what you've heard at the start of this episode comes from the Safe Public Housing Rally, held on Saturday, the 2nd of August, 2025. The Victorian government says that the towers are old, outdated, and unsafe. But for residents, the truth is far more complex. In today's episode, you'll hear from three people who call the public housing towers home. The first two share the powerful speeches they gave at the rally, and the final voice you'll hear is Lara, who has kindly joined me for an interview to share her story in her own words. Before we begin, a quick content warning. Some of the stories in this episode include experiences of displacement and violence. If this content brings up questions or distress to you, please contact Lifeline on 131114 or visit lifeline.org.au for support.
Miss Hallimer here is a resident of the Flemington Tower. She's one of the remaining residents. Miss Hallimer.
Hello. Are we good? Are we together?
Yes.
Together is the power.
Yes.
I greet you all, owners of the land, all. My English is not good, but you can listen as much I can say. I came here today with cry, and I need your support. They are kicking us from the towers. We don't have where to go. We already have many, many homeless people, many, many people who are stressful, who are on the street, but remaining, they want to kick us out. They build a new houses. Those houses which they have built, they say is a community. But it's not a community, it's a business house. The people who move there, they already have electricity within 6 months, 1,500 each person. So they are dictating them to have another companies of electricity. They say you should have only that. So we don't know what is government think about it. In my head, as an elderly person, I think government is the people. Without a people, no government. And I'm here today to support, they must stop demolition of housing. If they are demolishing, they should build more housing. Every day they are getting money, fund. I don't know what they are doing with. Average people all over Australia, they are suffering. So I need your support. We must be together. One message is for the government. If the government, they don't want to rule, people, they can tell us. We can just stay in the bush like a wild. Otherwise, they must look us down and help us. Because We know this land, it was the Aboriginal land. They have pushed them. And they lie and say, we're going to build these houses to make better life for the people. But we don't see anything. They build, but they're demolishing again. So thank you very much for all to come here together. I'm presenting Flemington, Kensington, all those places.
Thanks, Miss Hellerman. That was again excellent, and that's what we're here again today to prove. The next speech might take a little longer because it does require an interpreter, but I'm going to introduce R. Koo, a member of the 44 Flats United, who will introduce the next speaker, who's Ko Mai, a Richmond Towers resident. So let's take it away, R. Koo.
Hey, everybody. I'm R. Koo from 44 Flats United, 44FU. This is Ko Mai. Firstly, we'd like to start by acknowledging that we're on stolen land, and this is just a continuation of the harms that people here have been suffering for a long, long, long time. 44FU are a group of residents, former residents and supporters of public housing. Our aim is to collectively organise residents across all the estates to ensure that nobody is left worse off because of this decision to dock down all our homes and to keep the buildings as public housing for our communities and for all the generations to come. This is Ko Mai. Ko Mai will introduce herself, but she's from Richmond, from 139 Hyatt Street, and that's one of the first buildings that they want to knock down. Ko Mai is incredibly staunch. She's one of the staunchest residents that we've met. I'm excited to hear her speak more. Hi, everyone.
Tôi đã live, tôi ở Richmond được 11 năm, và những người bạn tôi ở từ 50 năm và 41 năm. Rất là nhiều người ở rất là lâu.
My name is Mai and I live in Richmond. I've lived there for over 10 years, but I have friends that have lived in our building for 50 years. I had to wait on the wait list for 10 years to get my flat.
Bây giờ là cô nói là bây giờ những bây giờ cô tự nhiên cô đang nói. Tôi muốn tôi bây giờ đó là đang trong tình trạng nghĩa là phải rời đi. Nói đi.
Currently, I'm in the situation or in the cohort of people who are being forced to leave by Homes Victoria. It's really, really challenging for us day to day. Homes Victoria are on our backs. They're in the reception, they're at our doors telling us, you have to move, you have to move, you have to sign these relocation forms.
Nghĩa là đầy đủ với số tiền trong tôi có. Bây giờ nếu mà tôi đổi qua business house á thì tôi phải trả tất cả tiền rất là nhiều. Trả thêm tiền nữa thì tôi sẽ bị cuộc sống sẽ ra sao?
Right now, living in public housing, I have just enough to live off, to cover rent, bills, food, and maybe a little bit extra. But if we move into business housing, not community housing, if we move into business housing, I have no idea how I'm going to live.
Bây giờ đang có 58,000 người đang chờ đợi nhà cửa.
There are 50,000 people waiting for public housing.
Bây giờ những nhà chúng tôi đang ở rất là bình yên. Nếu nhưng mà cần thì sẽ xây thêm cho những người đang chờ đợi. Tại sao đuổi chúng tôi đi?
Where we're living right now is so peaceful and it's such a great place to live. We don't understand why they're doing this and why they're forcing us to go. They should be building more of what we have.
Họ không đủ nhà để chứa, chỉ một building đã không đủ nhà để chứa.
They don't even have enough housing to move all of us who are just in one building. How are they going to relocate 18,000 people across all 44 estates? They don't have a plan.
Bây giờ chúng tôi sống trong sự khủng hoảng. Khủng hoảng cả nhà cửa, khủng hoảng cả tài chính. Tại sao trong khi chúng tôi đang sống êm ấm, bây giờ lại phải đuổi qua một business housing. Cái public housing đó chúng tôi phải chi trả rất là nhiều tiền thêm. Tôi phải sắm sửa lại từ máy giặt, từ tiền bill rất là cao, và những cái gì, trong khi tháng 8 này tất cả những cái gì bill cũng đều phải cao hết.
Community housing, or business housing as we'll call it now, is so expensive. The electricity bills are a lot more. You have to provide your own laundry facilities. Everything that we needed was covered in public housing. We were living a good life there. Now we have to buy all these additional supplies. Maybe people don't realize this, but in community housing, you have to use the electricity company or provider that the state government or the community housing provider require you to. And there's only one company, and their rates are so much more. And they're shit. I'll just jump in for a sec, Gomai, sorry. But there's one resident who just went to go pay their electricity bills, $400 for 1 month. $400 one month. They used to pay $200 for 3 fucking months. That's like, someone do the math, but I think that's 12 times higher. That's insane. Okay.
Bây giờ chúng tôi xin yêu cầu chính phủ giúp đỡ cho những người dân như chúng tôi.
We're calling on the government to stop this and to support the people.
Và giữ public housing không phải là business housing, okay?
Keep public housing, no business housing.
Look, thanks so much. I think that reflects the fact also that the high-rise towers in particular, many ethnic communities from all around the globe find real community in those places, and of course once you tear them down or once you disperse people, those people are lost to that community, and we know they get dispersed to places where they've lost all sorts of services that they've had in the original locale. I think that's critically important.
We've heard from two residents, one from Flemington and one from Richmond. Now we'll hear from Lara, who lives in the South Yarra Towers. This interview is in Russian and English with the support of Elena, our interpreter.
Hello!
Hi, Lara! Nice to meet you!
Nice to meet you!
My name is Ximena.
Yeah, my name is Lara.
Hi, Lara.
My microphone is closed. Can you hear me well?
Yes.
Oh, fantastic.
Hi, Elena. Welcome. Elena is going to be our interpreter.
So. Hello! Здравствуйте, Елена! Здравствуйте, как ваши дела? Хорошо, спасибо. Отлично. Sorry, we're just saying hello, how are you going?
Yes,
and
yes,
then I said, yeah, perfect.
I recognized спасибо as well. It's nice to hear you guys speak Russian.
Yeah.
So I'm going to begin with some questions about what do you remember the first time you walk into the towers?
Initially, Lara was coming to this house because she was a carer and she had a client there who is still living in this house on level 6. And so it's quite an interesting story in that case. So she was coming to see the client, and of course her documents were all ready to go. And then she's got the approval, and she's got the house right here in this same building. And she is literally just a few levels above her client. She's on level 11, and she's extremely happy to be here. Every morning she wakes up and she really is happy to be here, and she prays to God that she will remain here. So this is an important part of her life. There was a lot of friends in this house, and Lara first probably knew them as her clients, you know, so when she worked in their caring capacity, and then when she's got an approval to be in this house, so she was quite happy. So really great relationships. She can say that not just acquaintances, she can call them friends, and they really warm and friendly relationships they had. So they were going to see different concerts, and sometimes they would be like five people packed into a car to just go, and there will be like five, six cars going to the concert. And also not very far from this house, there is a Russian community club. So whenever there was an opportunity, they would all go and, you know, and sing and dance and recite poetry. And one of Lara's friends is actually, she's very talented, and she is performing there as well. So, and that's just, yeah, just a beautiful, beautiful relationship. One thing Lara also said is that before the pandemics, there was a lot more Russian people in this house. And then unfortunately, during the pandemics, they some of the people passed away, unfortunately. So she lost quite a few friends.
When you mention you work in caring, Lara, do you refer caring to older people or children?
So older people, so caring for elderly.
Is this something that you work on also when back in Russia?
So Lara actually has two higher educations. So the first one, in the first one, she's an economist. And in the second one, she's a manager of the, how do I say it in English? So just a manager of corporate entities,
government
management. And so she actually used to be in, worked with mayor in back in Russia. So a bit different from what she's doing now, very different.
And how do you start working with caring after people?
So Lara is here in Australia from 2006, and working is a bit of an accident. So one of your friends, people she knew, actually introduced her to this type of work. And so Lara has done her certificate 3 in aged care and started her work. But effectively, whenever she had time, so initially she was actually working as a dental assistant, but also in between, she was caring for elderly. It's interesting that there were a number of houses that were 3-4 floors, you know, so not very high rising, that were demolished initially. And then they very quickly, the building started for a multi-story dwelling. And so Lara is talking to many people, not just Russian-speaking people. So she's talking to the neighbors. They walk the dogs. They, you know, meet each other in the lift. And nobody is keen to actually leave the tower. So because from what they hear, the current facility, the current house is not really accommodating. So the rooms are incredibly small. You can possibly get a king single or maybe not even that. So the furniture even wouldn't be possible to bring over. So they are so tiny. The rooms are extremely tiny. And so not only that, but the it's very expensive, you know, so the price of the electricity is really high. So the people now have to really leave, you know, so not really heat the house well, or, you know, even try not to take a shower so they can save some money. So in those who actually did move, but not very many. So people around actually don't want to go because the living conditions have really deteriorated.
Lara, I would like to know, do you live by yourself now, or do you share your flat with more people?
So Lara had a really serious medical procedure, so an operation on her, you know, so on her head. And sometimes, unfortunately, she can lose consciousness, so she faints because of that seriousness of the operation. So right now, currently, Lara is living with her daughter and two grandchildren who take care of her because of her health conditions.
What do you think, Lara, worry you the most about leaving the public housing towers? And what do you think you will lose if you move out?
Так как я подала заявление, чтобы мне дали вместе с моей дочерью.
So there's a few things here. Firstly, Lara leaves with her daughter and the two grandchildren. So currently what she is afraid of is that if she is moved, she will be moved into one bedroom. Because the manager who came and had a conversation with her is saying that at the time when they made a decision to demolish the towers, the daughter was not living with her. Unfortunately, you know, so the situation, life has changed, the situation has changed, and it was after that decision that was made that Lara has undergone a really serious operation. So she has to live with her family who is taking care of her right now. So also another fear that she has is that she needs to sign an agreement first, that she agrees to move, and only then they will be talking about the conditions of movement. So what they will be offering, she doesn't know. And unfortunately, they can only offer twice. So if the first option is not a suitable one, the second one she will have to accept so she doesn't live in the street. So that's the biggest fear at the moment.
Конечно, мы разговариваем постоянно.
There's a few things here as well. So Lara is talking about the fact that probably that's the only thing they're talking about, you know, mostly talking about is that, you know, moving out of the tower. And everyone who stayed, actually, they say they will probably be the very last ones to leave. So from what they understand, the towers are going to be demolished because they have really bad sewage system and the pipes. And so from Lara's perspective, you know, wouldn't it be easier to change all the, you know, water system, sewage system, easier and much cheaper than actually demolishing the towers and building the new accommodation. So it's most likely, you know, that the money makes the world go round, you know, so money talks. And so the reasons are probably beyond what they're trying to present. So one thing I'm not sure if I've captured actually in previous question response is Lara currently lives in a 3-bedroom apartment, and what she anticipates is that she will only be offered a 1-bedroom, and they don't want to accommodate for her daughter and her grandchildren, but she actually needs support, so she needs her family to take care of her.
Lara, what will you say to someone who thinks that the towers should go?
Очень хороший и очень тяжелый вопрос.
Okay, so Lara is getting really upset, you know, so she says it's an amazing question, but it's also a very, very difficult one. And so people who are making these decisions, she would probably ask them if they would like to swap their own beautiful, comfortable houses, you know, to that new accommodation, if they would like to just get themselves into a 1-bedroom apartment and live there, or at least maybe a week, you know, would they be happy to do that? So the whole idea here is that people who are making decisions to continue with this demolition and saying to people that we are making, you know, a better new accommodation, but it's really, so would they be happy to live in that accommodation themselves? So that is the question. Also, Lara is pointing that currently at the moment, her only income is her pension. Right here in this tower, the system is quite good, you know, and it's quite warm, and the heating system is quite warm and good. But in the new accommodation, she would have to pay. It's an electricity-based heating system, and she would probably have to spend a lot of money or live in cold conditions, and also probably save the hot water. So she doesn't have to pay a really big amount of money to just for the services, for servicing this accommodation, this new accommodation.
I want to thank Lara for sharing her story and RQ for connecting me with her. Thanks also to 44AFU, Residents United Against the Big Gulf Demolitions, for helping us connect with Lara. At Sen of Women is produced in the Melbourne studios of 3CR Community Radio with the support from the Community Broadcasting Foundation and shared nationally via the Community Radio Network. You can listen to this episode and past shows at 3cr.org.au on the At Sen of Women page. If you like what you listen and would like to get in touch, email us at senofwomen@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening and making the space for these important stories. Until next time, and please take care.
Many, many people who are stressful, who are on the street, but remaining, they want to kick us out. They build the new houses, those houses which they have built, they say is a community. But it's not a community, it's a business house. The people who move there, they already have electricity within 6 months, 1,500 each person. So they are dictating them to have another companies of electricity. They say you should have only that. So we don't know what is government think about it. In my head, as an elderly person, I think government is the people. Without a people, no government. And I'm here today to support the must stop demolition of housing. If they are demolishing, they should build more housing. Every day they are getting money, fund. I don't know what they're doing with it. Average people all over Australia, they are suffering. So I need your support. We must be together.